Amen. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. I thank the Lord for this church, for Pastor Surrett and Pastor Ogle and the ministry here. I thank you all so much for being good, so good to me and my family and teaching our children. And last week was a blessing too with VBS. That was great. And I was just telling someone, I was gone. I was exhausted by the end of the week, but I would do it all over again. It was a blessing, and it was just an honor to serve and to be a blessing. And as I think, just to piggyback off what Mrs. Parker was saying, just to see the church involved and to see everyone step in, it was just an awesome thing to see, and a blessing. So Matthew chapter 5, please, and let's look at verse number 13. Verse number 13. It says, ye are the salt of the earth. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for this day. God, thank you for this church, Lord, that you have founded here. Thank you, Lord, for the ministries and the pastor. Lord, we pray for him as he's out west and as he's preaching this week and to the lost there as well and to ministry and encourage the camp there. Lord, we pray for him, but also, Lord, we pray for the ministries. But Lord, we also ask you to do great and mighty things in the service and the Lord in the preaching. May everything be done. Honor and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Salt is a great seasoning aspect, isn't it? I love grilling. Ever since I got a grill for Father's Day about 5-6 years ago, I just grill randomly. Whether it's 32 degrees out or whether it's snowing or whether it's sleeting, whether it's midnight, I can just throw some meat out there. But always, after the first time, I always realize that, you know, it always needs some seasoning. It needs some salt. You know, salt makes a difference, doesn't it? Salt does great things, and during the first century, salt had a lot of value to it. Actually, soldiers were paid with salt. And so if a soldier or someone was paid and didn't get their salt, or one phrase they were saying, they have lost their salt. They're not worth their salt. That phrase, have you ever heard that? They're not worth their salt, meaning they weren't worth being paid for. Salt was an amazing thing that they did, and it was used in first century, and it had a lot, it has, and had, and has a lot of value, and it does great things. But value, have you ever recognized something that had value? One person named Stan Caffey, he was getting ready. He was a bachelor, and he was engaged, and he was getting ready to get married. So he was kind of cleaning out his garage, and so one day he had cleared out many things, and he had sold, had a yard sale, but a lot of things he just gave away and put it in a Goodwill. One of the items he donated was just a tattered copy of the Declaration of Independence that had been hanging in his garage for many, many years, and he didn't think of anything of it. Well, he put it to Goodwill, and this version of the Declaration of Independence was a rare copy made in 1823. Someone bought it at the Goodwill for $2.48. Later, it was auctioned for over $500,000. Not a bad turnaround, right? The value of certain things. Sometimes we don't think that we have any value. Sometimes when we mess up, when we fail, when we fall short, maybe we've not had that greatest relationship with our children, or maybe we haven't had that greatest relationship with our spouse. Many times we think that we don't have value, or what's worth it? What's the point? Why should we keep going? Why should we keep working on that? But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, let's go back there. It says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his favor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light candle and put under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In order to glorify God, you must live out your light before people. You know, many times as believers, I believe that we seclude ourselves from the world, from our neighbors, from people. And of course, we should always fellowship with other fellow believers, and I truly believe that, and I love the fellowship here with many people here at church. But also, how can the world see our lives if we don't interact with them. You know, salt has a great many aspects to it. You can season it, you can preserve it. Even during the first century as well, it was the salt was a body salt. It was actually used to keep when in hot and dry humid weather, just like it is this week, you lose a lot of salt. You sweat it all out. And you can drink a lot of water, but you actually need electrolytes. And you know, certain like drinks like Gatorade. I remember years ago when I was a young person, I just didn't like the taste of Gatorade. It had a weird, different taste to it. Then I realized after sweating and being dehydrated after a soccer game, you know what? I need that Gatorade now, because there's certain elements in that drink, that salt, actually replenishes your body, that your body needs. But look at back in verse number 13. One point I wanted to make here is that you are called to make an impact. Salt makes an impact. Salt does make things taste great. Now, don't get me wrong. People go overboard and they oversalt things, and what? Your cholesterol goes high, right? That's not the salt. We don't want to overdo it that way. But salt has many great aspects to it. Even then, at the Dead Sea, there, the salt was not a pure salt, and so it had a lot of compounds to it, and it had actually a lot of impurities to that salt. But then when they used that salt, it was great. But when after time and after certain things, it deteriorated that salt, and it lost. Back on verse number 13, it says, "Wherewith shall it be salted? It is then for its good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." That salt lost its savor. That salt was no longer worth anything. So many times in the first century, they would throw that salt on the ground, and actually it would harden the ground, and actually it would act more of a almost like a sidewalk per se. But that salt did many different things. But we are called to make an impact. As I mentioned this past week with VBS, I know, and as Brother Bishop made a testimony, to make an impact in the lives of these young people. They came for 1 week, and Lord willing, we will see them again many times. Hopefully, Lord willing, we'll be able to do a follow-up and see these children, whether it be next year or 5 years or 10 years, to see what difference it made in their lives. But salt makes a difference. We are to make an impact. But are you making an impact? When we say you are salt of the earth, or verse 14, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. What difference has there been made? If we can ask one of your neighbors or coworkers or lost family members, can they say that you are making a difference? I remember not too long ago at my work, I had to talk to my boss about certain things, and I asked them to respectfully, tone of conversations, and I said, you know, I would appreciate it if this type of conversation not be said, and I was being respectful. And he said, you know what, you know, Raphael, you're right. You know, that's not something, that's personally something I'm trying to work on, but I appreciate someone standing, you know, saying something like that. And it's not about what I've said, don't get me wrong, but as believers, we need to take a stand. Now, on the extreme side, many times Christians can going on soapbox and go a lot of political aspects, and there's a lot of great aspirations, and I'm not putting that down at all. But as believers, we need to make a difference where we're at even today. You're called to make an impact, but where? We need to make an impact where we're at even today. Look at verse number 13 again. It says, ye are the salt of what? The earth. Verse 14, it says, ye are the light of the world. We are to make an impact where we're at. Your neighbors know you, your coworkers know you, your family members know you, but wherever we're at, well, that's where we need to make a difference. I remember I was talking to one of our children and talking about the two greatest commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, but the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so I said, who's your neighbor? And I was talking to one of the kids, and they said, oh, it's so-and-so who lives next door. I said, that's true. But your neighbor's not only the person next, your next door neighbor, but it's those who are around you, your circle of influence, those who see you on a regular basis, or those who are next to you, who work with you, who see you on a regular basis, those are the ones that we need to make a deep impact on those. But when we do that, we shouldn't hide from that. We shouldn't hide because we shouldn't just live our Christian life, but we need to live our daily lives with God, right? We need to live our daily lives in front of others. But to make an impact, when we think about impact in the Bible, when we think about who made an impact, Daniel, right? He was taken from where he lived, from his family, and he made an impact in his whole entire life. It's amazing to see the whole spectrum of Daniel's life, but how he made an impact as a young person, up to the age of, up to a very older age, that he lived his whole entire life, and he made an impact on where he was at. Who else? Joseph in Egypt. He made an impact where he was. He was a salt. You know, I'm sure you've had meat maybe at a restaurant and ordered a meal with an entree and had a great meal, but my steak had no salt. It had no taste on it. I'm like, whoa, it had the bad, not bad taste, but it had no salt. It had no taste. It has that bland taste. Have you had meat like that before? It's like, you need to add some flavor to that. But our lives shouldn't be blah. It shouldn't be bland. It should see that, as others should see, that our life is different. Not that we're living our lives as a high and mighty, as a pious, as someone that look upon me, but to make a difference. Hold your finger here and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. At our children's school, they memorize passages like this, 1 Corinthians 13, and so when they're quoting it, sometimes they run through it, and I said, do you know what that means? But look at in verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Here's Paul writing about charity, about the agape love that believers should live. Look in the next verse. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Sometimes I kind of go off my kids and teaching them, but I try to make it simple here. But look in verse number 1. It says, tinkling cymbal or sounding brass. As far as I understand, that when they, those in that time period had given money to charity, it was maybe like a charity box, and maybe it's in the front of church here, you could say. And when they throw change or loose change or their money, they made sure that they would throw it and it would make that tinkling cymbal, that brass sound. Everyone would hear it. Almost kind of like if we had a, sometimes you would hear some kids here in the offering on Sunday, they'll have a bunch of change, you'll hear it cling, 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 all right? But imagine something that was made out of brass and it would maybe echo in this room. But then in this passage here, when they threw charity and they made it so loud and they wanted to make sure that everyone heard, God says, you know what, that's not charity. That's not the showing the love of God. Back in Matthew chapter 6, in the next chapter, here Matthew is writing about when you should give your alms before men. It shouldn't be before men, but it should be given to give God in secret, right? But these things are not to be done in front of men just for man's sake, but for the love of God. Look in verse number 16 back at Matthew chapter 5. It says, let your light so shine before men, in front of men, not for man, not for you, but that they may see your good works. Again, this is not to elevate man, not to elevate me, not to elevate you, but why? To glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Our testimony before man should be not for my sake, not to get an advantage, not just to get a pay raise, not to get a pat on the back, not to say, good job, keep it up. Now, those are nice things that reaffirms that you're doing something right. But our goal in our daily lives is not for man. Why? But for God's sake, for the love of God, and to make that difference, that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. You're called to make an impact. You're called to make an impact where you are and where you live. But also, you're all called to make an impact for the gospel's sake. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When I read the news, you know, for a while, I like to stay updated. I like to stay on current events, right? And nice to know what's going on around the world. But sometimes news is too much news. And sometimes it's too overwhelming. Sometimes it's not worth listening or reading. But every time I hear just distraught political things going on around our nation, different states are doing different things, it just reminds me just the heart of man. that men in this, the United States need the gospel. They need the gospel. What's going to change it political? Is it going to be the next president? Is it going to be a political party? No, no. Does it matter who's president? It makes an impact, yes. But at the end of the day, what's going to make the greatest impact is the gospel, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 4, it says, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of their glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Why should we shine? Why should we live our lives? Why should we glorify God? Why should everything that we do and say glorify God? Why? So that it would shine for the gospel's sake. Our testimony is so crucial, not just, again, to check off saying, yes, I did that right. Yes, I did that. But why? It's for the gospel's sake. Our lives, it makes a difference. Our daily lives and what we do and say. You know, we know the song, This Little Light of Mine, right? I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bush. Oh, no, right? Our light should shine before men that they may see our good works. Matthew in chapter 5, another aspect I want to point out here, verse number 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but a candlestick, but it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. At the beginning, I was saying how value that we have. I know that Satan wants to distract us, right? With the wiles of the devil, he distracts us many different ways. That we don't think that we have value, that our spouse has value, our children have value, but you do have value. Salt has value. Salt makes a difference. Light makes a difference. In the International Space Station up rotating and circling the Earth, they can see Earth. They can see light. One of the brightest lights that they see on Earth, they say, is Las Vegas, right? Because of all the lights that they have there. They can see bright lights of main cities throughout the world. It would be Paris or London, whether it be Miami, New York City, Los Angeles. You can see it from really far off, but it makes a difference. Wherever you're at, wherever you live, whether you have family members that aren't saved, you are that light. That light will shine before men. You are that salt that makes that difference. But may I remind you that it does make a difference in everything that we do and say. Our speech should be seasoned with the salt, the Bible says, as well. But we need to make that impact. That last week with VBS, whether you're teaching, whether you're helping out with security, whether you're preparing food and snacks, whether you're doing crafts, things like that, every aspect and every person makes a difference. I'm so thankful for the body of Christ that makes that difference. The different people do different things. Everyone has that gift and that honor to serve here in the local church. But when we live that life, when we are that salt, when you are that light, it makes a difference. We may not think, we may think that salt has lost its value, but our value is in Jesus Christ, right? Our value is in what he has done for us. May we not forget what he's done. May we not forget our testimony, what he's done. When our family and our church and many people, Ambassador, had been praying for my father's salvation. And in the year 2007, just over a year after I was married, my dad got saved on December 23rd. And I remember that so clearly that he asked that I wanted to get saved. He said, how do I need to get saved. That's what he said. And from the testimony of our local church up there, from the testimony of just the preaching and the teaching and the reading of God's word, he said just the people that made a difference, the people that loved him made that difference. It was that salt of people loving him. And it wasn't just the love, but it was the truth and the love. It was that combination that made a difference. That's how he got saved. And he was a staunch Catholic. He was a devout Catholic. He went every week. Every Sunday he went to his church. Every Sunday he went to his mass. And culturally and as nationally, that's his religion. It was his religion, Roman Catholicism. But what made the difference was the gospel of Jesus Christ, that salt, the difference of love of how people taught him. What's the difference? He said, but now, and since then, God's transformed his life. He passes out tracts. He went back to Bible college, the Bible institution, and he graduated at the age of 78 with a 2-year certificate in Bible certificate. And he's preaching when the pastor allows him to, and he serves in the church and sings and things like that. Just total transformation of what God has done. What can the gospel do? The people need the gospel. Yes, we can vote on rulings and certain laws, and they have its place. But at the root of all of it, at the heart of it, man needs gospel. The women need gospel. Children need the gospel. What's going to make an impact? What's going to make the greatest impact? And how is that going to shine? It's going to shine through your testimony. It's going to shine through what you say. Many times, on our street, this past year, a lot of just different things have happened. Very sad, and people have a certain person that passed away this past year, and on our street through a very tragic circumstance. But we were able to testify to that couple, and we didn't know very many people in that situation, but they knew who we were, and they appreciated us, and so we had prayed for them. But on your street, you know your neighbors, or your neighbors know you, and maybe you have one of these neighbors, you know. And sometimes that's about the extent of it. But can we make that extra effort to say, hey, how you doing today? I remember with a coworker, he came up to me and this past week, and he was so excited. Hey, I went to church this week. I'm like, amen, that's great, you know. And every now and then I'll have a conversation to encourage him, and I'll pray with them, and et cetera. And it's neat to see that they make that effort, but yet the gospel, they know who to go to. They know to say, hey, you're a praying guy, aren't you? I'm like, yeah, I pray. He's like, can you pray for my dad? Or can you pray for this situation, my grandma, et cetera. People know who you are. But let's not hide behind our Christianity. Let's not just stay reclusive into our own, our groups. But you know what? We need to make an impact. Right? Be that salt. Make that, maybe as the passage said, the salt has lost its savor. You know, salt now that we buy salt, it doesn't lose its savor. But in the analogy there, in that description in the gospel there, had lost its savor. It was obviously an object lesson that he was writing there in Matthew, that it does lose its savor. And sometimes in our testimony, we lose our savor. We lose our salt. We lose our testimony. We lose that light. We kind of hide that light under a bushel, right? We need to make that extra effort. That we need to make that shine. And at the end of it all, right? Whether it be BBS, we need to give the kids the gospel. What's the point of also for visitation? Is to give the gospel. Why do we pray for these missionaries? Because they're giving out the gospel. Why is our pastor out in the West Coast? To give the gospel to teens. Why did Jeremiah Clark and his team go down to Patagonia? To give the gospel. Why do we support our missionaries? To give the gospel. What makes a difference is this local church. To give the gospel. And what's going to make that difference? That salt. That light. This evening I pray and I hope and pray and encourage for every believer that your salt and that your life, your testimony, let it so shine before men. Not to glorify you. Not that you get a pat on the back, because if you do, that's great. But you just say, you know what? It's not about me. It's about him. He must increase, but I must decrease. It's not about me, but it's all about God. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father God, I thank you so much for the gospel and for the Holy Spirit that pricks the heart of man. God, you know how we can make an impact. God, sometimes we hide behind our fears of man. Lord, we hide behind that we don't want to be ostracized, or we don't want to be scolded, or we don't want to be made fun of. But God, we thank you for the gospel. God, thank you that you did not hide that behind when you went to the cross. Lord, you had that courage and that strength. But Lord, may you give us that courage. May we rely on you to make that impact to our coworkers, to our neighbors, to our friends, our family members, or maybe this that one person that we come in contact in the community. Because it's worth it all for that one person to know you. God, we may not know how that seed is planted. We may just water that seed. Maybe we'll just continue to water that seed. But God, you give it that increase. Lord, in everything we do and say, may that give you the glory and honor. And we, help us to remember that it's not all about us. Lord, it's all about you. Thank you for, Lord. Thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for Emmanuel Baptist Church. But Lord, may it not just be this building. But Lord, may your people glorify you in their works and in their lives and wherever they go. And as we go out to this mission field of Kings Mountain, Shelby, and surrounding area, may everything be done to your honor and glory in Jesus' name.